All right, then in chapter 48, we see the divisions of this and how these tribes are laid out. It starts with Dan and ends up with Gad. In the middle is the holy land, is a holy part of the land. It's a part that God has given to the Levites. If we were to interpolate, I guess is a good word for that, isn't it? The meanings of these names, here's the way the land would be laid out. First, judged. This is the farthest one away from the temple, Dan. Now, if you look in Revelation 7, in the ceiling of the 144,000, Dan is not even mentioned there at all. And I think we have the reason that they're so far away is the same reason that they're not mentioned, is what value will judge? Will there be of a judge? Everybody will learn to judge themselves, just like we do today. And Paul says, if you judge yourself, you shall not be judged. So the furthest away one is judged. Then the next one closer is happy. Then third is wrestling. Fourth is forgetting. Fifth is fruitfulness. Ephraim, see? Ephraim Manasseh, he named his first one forgetting those things that are behind, and we become fruitful in the things of the Lord. You'll never be fruitful. You'll never have Ephraim until you have Manasseh. And then Reuben is the next one. See a son. So is forth the sonship. See how we're getting closer. And then we have Judah, which means praise. And then we have an area that belongs to the Levites. This we might be worth taking some time in. I'm going to read from verse 8, I guess, of chapter 48. And the border of Judah from the east side to the west side shall be the offering which ye shall offer of 5,020 reeds in breadth and in, pardon me, and in length, as one of the other parts of the east, from the east side unto the west. And the sanctuary shall be in the midst of it. And the oblation that ye shall offer unto the Lord shall be 25,000 in length and 10,000 in breadth. Now, this is a land, a section that was given unto the Lord. This belonged to him. Nobody else could claim inheritance to it. We could go back over in chapter 40 and notice that this is measured in reeds. In chapter 40, verse 5, we have the length of the reed, which is 6 cubits long and a hand breadth. And I figured about 9 foot, I believe, is what we figured before that this would be. So if you could figure pretty well about what this would be. Actually, it's square, the sanctuary is, and so that leaves area on both sides that was given to the Levites and to the priests to live in. This was for area to put their homes. They had no inheritance. Their inheritance is the Lord. And so this all belonged to the Lord. Notice that this area, this land, is called an offering. In verse 9, it's called an oblation. And in verse 10, this holy oblation. And that's because it belonged to him. This was considered holy land. And in order to go into the sanctuary, you went through holy land to get there. And isn't this true in our life? Don't you feel like the land that you walk on is holy land as you stand in the presence of God? Verse 10 we read, and for them, even the priest, shall be this holy oblation toward the north, 25,000 in length, and toward the west, 10,000 in breadth, and toward the east, 10,000, and toward the south, 25,000. And the sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the midst of it, and it shall be for priests that are sanctified by the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge. Now, we talked about them before in So in chapter 44, I believe it was, and so they are going to be blessed for their faithfulness, the place to live, and right into the holiness and the presence of God. And this oblation of the land is offered, that is offered, shall be unto them a most holy thing by the borders of the Levites. Over and over against the border of the priest, the Levites shall have 5 and 20,000 in length. We're still talking about reeds now, by the way. And 10,000 in breadth. And all the length shall be 25,000, and the breadth 10,000. This belongs to the Levites. And thou shalt not sell it, neither exchange it, nor alienate the first fruits of the land, for it is holy unto the Lord. And the 5,000 that are left in the breadth over against the 5,000, 5 and 20,000, shall be for a profane place for the city, a special place, a common place, actually, I guess a better rendering of that, for the city, for dwelling and for the suburbs, and the city shall be in the midst thereof. Notice the city itself, we're talking, and this is on our little chart here, by the way. I think it shows, does it show the city itself there? Yeah. The city itself, the Jerusalem that will be known at that time. It will be in that holy portion. And then the priest will have his portion, the Levites will have his portion, the princes will have their portion in this known as holy area. And these shall be the measure thereof, the north side, 4,000. And you can figure all this out if you want to, but these are simply, verse 16, I think, shows that these are square. The north side will be 4,500, the south side 4,500, the east side 4,500, and the west side 4,500. So we have a perfect cube here if you add the height. Now, if you'll notice, the New Jerusalem is a perfect cube. It's not a square, as we see here, because this don't have the height. But the New Jerusalem has a height to it. And I think this is an answer. The answer to this is in the third chapter of Ephesians. I'll have to find the verse for you. Verse 18, and I'm going to read 17 with it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, or better rendering of that is apprehend. That's the way that should be apprehend instead of comprehend. With all saints, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? Here we have a perfect cube again, don't we? And God wants us to understand it by knowing the love of God. And so we see here that this is perfect in every way, this city. It won't be like the city that we know of today. This will have more gates than the city of Jerusalem has ever had, which we'll read a little bit later. Then in verse 17, and the suburbs of the city shall be toward the north 250, toward the south 250, toward the east 250, and toward the west 250. So all the way around this will have the suburbs for dwelling places. The priest won't have to go very far, will he? Then, and the residue in length over against the oblation of the holy portion shall be 10,000 eastward, 10,000 westward, and it shall be over against the oblation of the holy portion, and the increase thereof shall be for the food unto them that serve the city. This is the city of our God, isn't it? What is that song that we sing in Psalms? City of our God? Mountain of His Holiness, isn't it? It's called the Mountain of His Holiness. And they that serve the city shall serve it of all the tribes of Israel. All the oblations shall be 25,000 by 25,000, and you shall offer a holy oblation four square with the possessions of the city. And we talked about this four square thought before. And the rest of it then, shall be for the prince, as this holy area. And on the one side, on the other, the holy oblation, and of the possession of the city over against the 25,000 of the oblation toward the east border, and the west over against the 25,000 wrought reeds we're talking about yet, toward the west border over against the portion for the prince, and it shall be the holy oblation, and the sanctuary of the house shall be in the midst of it. Right in the midst. You see, the temple is not in the midst of the city of Jerusalem today. It's way over on the east wall, way over. But here it's going to be in the midst of it. So everything will be different. Somebody said, well, you couldn't put it there because of the hills. Well, the hills are going to be brought down. We read in Isaiah, the high places will be made low, and the low places shall be made high. Read in Zechariah that the mountains will break in two, fall on each side of the valley. And so this will be possible to build, is the part that we're saying. Moreover, from the possession of the Levites, and from the possession of the city, being in the midst of that which is the prince between the border of Judah and the borders of Benjamin, shall be for the princes. Now on the north side of this, we have Judah. On the south side, we have Benjamin. Now these two tribes, it's interesting, are the closest to the holy place. But it was these two tribes that refused to be separated from the house of David. It was these two tribes that continue to offer the offerings and be faithful. And they finally fell, but they were the ones that God recognized as the faithful tribes. These are the ones God had been dealing with for all these centuries. Judah and Benjamin, they were known together. Benjamin was always one of the smallest tribes. That makes no difference. Size makes no difference to God. He's always, he honors faithfulness to his things. And so these are have the honored place, don't they? Judah and Benjamin. And by the borders of Benjamin, then, from the east side unto the west side, we have Simeon shall have a portion. And then to the borders of Simeon, Issachar will have a portion. And from beginning at Issachar, Zebulun will have a portion. And beginning at Zebulun, Gad will have from the south side forward. The border shall be even into Tamar and the waters of strife in Kadesh, and the rivers toward the great sea. So this is the southern. This will be the same as what we've been talking about. Kadesh was where they made the wrong decision during Joshua's time, wasn't it? They wouldn't go in and take the land. And this is the land which ye shall divide by lot to the tribes of Israel for inheritance, and these are their portions, saith the Lord God. And these are the going out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. And the gates of the city shall be after the name. Now we get to the gates of the city. I mentioned this a while ago. Shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. Now they were names of where the roads led to before, weren't they? It was the Joppa Gate and the Damascus Gate, and the one led to the place of destruction. They called it the Dung Gate. The Sheep Gate is what led to where they brought in the sheep for slaughter, and they named them according to the usage of the gate. But here, this is not so. In the kingdom city, it'll be named according to the tribes of Israel. The three north gates. And remember, this city will be four square. It'll have three gates on each side. Three is the number of the triune God. And on the north side, we have Benjamin, Judah, and Levi. And we have sonship, praise, and joining together. Besides the north. We talked about that once before, haven't we, in this lesson, I believe, earlier in the book. This is the direction of the earth in which God dwells. northward. And then the east side, 4,500, they had three gates, and one gate was Judah, Benjamin, and Dan on the east side. And then on the south side, there was three gates, Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun. And on the west side, facing the Mediterranean, was Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. And there was around about 18,000 measure. And the name of the city from that day shall be not Jerusalem, not Foundation of Peace, but God's going to change the name to the Lord. Jehovah's there. And that's the main thing, isn't it? It's the Lord. All right, that's about all we need out of this, I guess. There's probably more that could be said in the 14th chapter of Zechariah. Talking about the river, I just thought about this. We have a little bit different thought of this river. I'll have to find that verse. It talks about the river going into two parts, one toward the Mediterranean. It should be about verse 15. Yeah, that's it. I thought it was further than the chapter. Yeah, it should be in that, and it shall be in that day that living water shall go from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and the other half of them toward the hinder sea. So half went east, and half of it went west. Jerusalem is about 14 miles west of the Dead Sea, and about 33 miles east of the Mediterranean Sea. And the elevation is 2,000, I'm reading off of some notes I got in my, written at the edge of my Bible there, 2,550 feet, and it's 3,800 foot above the Dead Sea. See, the Dead Sea is lower than the Mediterranean Sea. And somebody read when we're closing here that verse in the 48th Psalm that we sang. I think it's the first two verses, isn't it? The Psalms 48, praise you, the Lord, praise, blessed to be. How's that go?
Great is the Lord, yeah, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king.
That word situation there comes from a Hebrew word that means elevation. That would be the best rendering of that, I believe. Beautiful for elevation. Speaking of the flow of God's blessings in that verse. While you're there, read Psalms 46:4. That's an interesting psalm along this same line. Right close to it.
There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I'll tell you, it's thrilling. All right. We might end with this thought, that if the earth at this time is going to be so wonderful, so blessed, so close to utopia, what will heaven be like?